and some of those artists are here tonight as part of the first installation, which we have planned, and I can kind of give you the rundown of how it's going to happen. This project actually was, some of the shipping was delayed, so we have to split this into two, which actually works out pretty well. We have a performance and installation opening tomorrow. Performance is by Silvio Vujicic, to my left, and then also Cliff, which is over here. He's going to, both of them will have installations and works that will be shown tomorrow. We didn't really want to have everything completely set up, so hopefully we can have you guys come back once you understand the projects and check it out. That'll be running for about 10 days, and then on the 14th of December, which is a Thursday, will be the next opening, which includes most of the other works in the show, which we'll briefly kind of show you, and you can also check out the Device Art website. It's off the links on our page. Many of you might have already seen that. So briefly about the project. Device Art is actually something that happened originally by a group that's based out of Zagreb called Container, and I'm going to switch over, if I can, to this laptop so I can, because I can't get online with this one. Just a moment. Let's see if it likes it. Now something's happening to the machine. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea to hot swap. Okay. So I just wanted to briefly introduce Container, because that's the main organization that we collaborated with. When I say we, I mean Blast House, myself. This is one of the most important art, new media, radical body art, really, really interesting groups that's come out of the scene in Eastern Europe and all of Europe, really. They're always doing really amazing things. They started, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago, and that's how, when we first met, they were doing things back in the early, part of this century. I'll show you some of the past projects just to give you an idea if we're online on this one. See. But anyway, Container basically had done a Device Art project in 2004, and many of these artists were involved to my left and also to my right. I just might mention Marcel Mars, who's coming out of Zagreb as well with an organization called Multimedia Institute, and also MAMA, and he's going to talk about the topic of geek and how it relates to this Device Art project. And also, I just want to mention Multimedia Institute, and Marcel is also leading the way in that part of the world for this type of work, and especially when it comes to the discourse related to these topics, and coming from a more activist, political-minded, community-minded point of view. And they're also one of the partner organizations in organizing the Device Art exhibition, which basically took place already, just to mention, in Zagreb, in Belgrade, and Ljubljana, and a city that's about half an hour from Zagreb called Velika Gorica. You can see some photographs when I switch over back to here from the opening and kind of check out some of the works in the show, which will be featured in the forthcoming exhibition, which opens part two of this on the 14th. And then I just want to mention the last part of the whole run here in San Francisco, which is the sort of conclusion of the entire collaboration, will be on the 16th, and that will include the San Francisco artists, which are Cal Spelatek and also Christian Risto. Many of you may know his project RoboChrist, and we're going to do a special performance. We'll announce all the location details on email so we can keep it in the family, because it's not easy to do that kind of work here, as you may know, but it's a San Francisco location most of you might be familiar with. So be sure to get on our email list for that information when it becomes made available. So briefly about Container, if I could talk a little bit. By the way, we have catalogs which will be available for the next probably middle of the next week, we'll have some available for you. They're delayed from shipping and caught up in customs. But the Project Device Art, I was going to just briefly mention, Container did this, actually brought this topic to bear in 2004 the first time, and included many artists in the local scene. And it was an idea to sort of look at and examine this type of work that's actually being done locally within not only Zagreb, but also in parts of Slovenia as well. So, and just kind of look at that, because it's not really necessarily a strong point for them. They're not necessarily technologically... first started thinking about this and looking at the region, and that's one of the things we quickly noticed. They just wanted to kind of give a sort of report of what was really happening on the scene, and they sort of identified and worked with, I think, most of the well-known artists that are dealing with new media, and it became a very interesting thing and very popular. They did a lot of great work. There's another catalog for that show as well. And then the next time that was brought up was the idea of kind of collaborating and reaching out of the local scene and sort of contextualizing it with somewhere like San Francisco, which is notorious for this type of work. And so it was a very interesting comparison to look at the works of artists like Cal Spelatek, who's here tonight, and in the context of what these guys are doing. And hopefully we can get into some of that tonight. Basically, you might just want to go through, because I want to just quickly introduce these guys and get them to start presenting some of their stuff and let you guys see what's happening. But you might want to just peruse the Container website. They've done some amazing projects. I was involved in this one last year. It was called Touch Me, and the theme was intelligence abuse, and had many very interesting works that were dealing with all types of... I don't know if you are familiar with Lifeboat, but Oren Katz was involved with this, as well as Nigel Hellier. This is something that you might have seen presented at a previous Dorkbot. There was Marta Domenitzes, who's intervening on the life of butterflies. A lot of genetic sort of DNA, of course. The first artist to ever use DNA, Joe Davis at MIT. Many of you might know him. There's some great projects that you can look around, and they're not really showing up here because it's taking a while to access this site in Croatia. But if you want, you'd probably be well. And there's some other catalogs that we'll have available here to sort of give you an idea of what Containers are doing over there. So it's really exciting for us. We brought over, I think it was about 10 people, wasn't it, Cal? To Zagreb, and we filled up a 40-foot cargo container, and last minute, got it out the door and brought as much art as we could possibly bring, and the project was very successful. Lots of people came, and it was a very interesting audience. It's not the type of thing that you would necessarily see there, so it was very rewarding on every part. So the way we broke it down there is very similar to how we'll do it here, but it's, as a gallery installation, there's visual works are mostly interactive, mostly a lot of audiovisual interactive pieces, lots of sort of conceptual ideas, people thinking about things and sort of articulating that. That seemed to be a strong point in the context of comparison, is that people are definitely thinking really interesting in a really interesting way and articulating that in a very focused way with limited resources. And sometimes it's really exciting to see, because you have to realize that it's not like they have a place like Ace or somewhere where you can just go for $5, get a bunch of parts and put something together. It's not at all that like that over there. At any rate, I'd like to probably just go ahead and move on and introduce some of the artists so they can talk a little bit about their work. In the meantime, I think we can just go through and talk a little bit about some of these photos over here. Just to give you an idea. Really briefly, I wanted to, just for the sake of understanding what's going to happen tomorrow, is give you an idea of what Silvio Vucic is actually doing, which is a piece called Perfume. And I can give you sort of a rundown of what's happening there. So what Silvio's actually done, and we've had some issues trying to get the setup. We want, it's a little bit delicate, so when you have a lot of people, it's probably not the best situation, but we're going to try to contain it a little bit better so it's safe. But the idea is that he's actually making perfumes from body fluids. So these are... let's see if I can go back here. I think his piece starts with the idea of looking at what perfume is and the sense of disguising the body as far as you can tell, and the idea of the fact that perfume and most of our appearances is very much in everything about our existence is informed by like a visual culture. So if you think about perfumes, really what they're representing is some reference to fashion that doesn't have any other reference at all. And it's a really interesting topic if you think about it, because all these perfumes are named after fashion designers. And I don't know if you knew this, but I think a large percentage of those are not even made.
That woman did it again.
Okay. Most of the perfumes are never made by the designers. They're just sort of a few people who are really good at designing scents. And so Silvio's idea starts with this investigation of actual real perfumes, the perfume of the animal, the body itself. So he's invited people to donate body fluids, excrements. you know, there was, in Zagreb, there was tears, there were, you know, shit, piss, sperm, menstrual blood mixed with sperm. I mean, there's everything you could imagine. It was very interesting. So over the course of the next few days, he will... Excuse me?
Was there Santorum?
I don't know. I'm not sure that one... Maybe you can invent one. I don't know. But over the course of the next few days, he'll be making perfumes. And if you're interested in donating it, we understand that a lot of people brought some of their body fluids tonight, or at least I was told that. It's exciting, but I think... I don't know that it would be the best to actually use it, because what I'm told is it's better, correct me if I'm wrong, to have it immediately available so that no bacteria are... so it's actually, unfortunately, maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but having it in here... We have porn magazines in the back if any of you guys are interested in the sperm thing. So, you know, because it's really critical to have that specimen to be as fresh as possible. And the perfume is going to be way better, believe me. So if you're interested in doing that, what we'd like to do is try to have a list available so at the bar you can sign up to have, and he's only able to do about 20 of them because of the amount of, it's very intensive work, and believe me, he's going to spend the next 3 days nonstop working on these. And then we're going to have them on display so you can actually go up and smell all of these perfumes. And some of them you'll have a hard time with, but others you'll be very, you wouldn't believe. Like, I don't know. Some of the ones of shit, for example, were the best ones in Zagreb. They were just totally surprising, which is amazing. So, at any rate...
Shit stinks.
I don't know. So, anyway, think about that. And Cliff also is next to me. He's going to talk a little bit about his piece, and I won't get too far into that. But Cliff's been doing a lot of work in this field of audiovisual... sort of synchronicity, synesthesia, or this idea of sort of breaking down the idea of sound and audio and how they're triggering each other. And so we'll start off with having Cliff maybe talk a few minutes, and then Magdalena, who's behind him, is going to speak as well about her work and how she's coming into the project. And then we'll turn it over to Marcel, who's going to after this, get into the geek topic. Thanks a lot for coming, and I'll turn it over to Cliff now.
Hello. Hello, I'm Cliff, and I will be showing at the same time while talking. I will just start by presenting some of my old work. I actually started exhibiting some time in 1992. I started by doing a series of prepared TVs, which were old 50s, 60s TV boxes. They were interactive with these buttons on TVs themselves. Audience, just a little. I have to relax a little bit more. I was expecting audience to press the buttons on the TVs, and I had some motors going on inside and some lights. So if you would come closer, sometimes you would get effects like this. Now I will be showing a little bit of those TVs. Will, do we have sound for from the computer? Because I don't see the cable. Yeah, that kind of sound we have. That's not a problem. I could sing.
Like 5 minutes? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Then I will talk first. And I can play some of the videos without sound from that time. This is kind of... yeah, maybe. It works like this from scene.
Light installations. He has also worked extensively in Denmark, Holland, Macedonia, and Germany.
This was a promo video with...
theater companies, has also created sets for performance arts events and for concerts. He has also had solo...
These are some kinetic light installations that I did at the time, and basically I came out with two nice light objects. One was doing this kind of moiré thing, and the other one was with spirals. And after that, I didn't do similar works because I didn't come out with anything good. These are prepared TVs. I can show some. Then this is something from 1999. It is basically also a camera obscura kind of work. I had a rubber doll inside the box, and with some lights. Basically, it was interactive, but not. The interactivity was not the most important thing about this work. You could see it as is, and if some people sometimes would realize that they can also interact with it, because what was going on was that shadows on this face were only changing. It was very low light work. This is made with quite long exposure, and it had nice atmosphere. This is about 3 meters tall projection. And then I have some photos from this is more recent work, and something to go with the Dorkbot crowd. I made some how do you call it? Rotating heads for video cameras, and had some software to basically I was shooting the visitor coming to the gallery, and that video was going to the small TV sets. Then cameras were recording these small TV sets, and three cameras were connected to six projectors, and the images of projectors were unevenly overlapping on the wall. So there was always some video feedback going on from cameras and projections. And cameras were moving to some pre-made... And now, after showing a few more photos, I will play some video so I don't have to talk anymore. Okay. I will play you some documentation of a project that I did with Magdalena and some other people in 97. It was the we got some sensor interfaces and started developing project called Ear Sees, Eye Hears, which was we were investigating what happens with sensors and sound and image. And this was our first presentation of the project. Wait a minute. Thank you. Okay, this is it. Thank you. We just have to make up. I will play now something from documentation from Magdalena's exhibition. It was a video work together with free installation pieces. I think I played the wrong video. Okay, this one.
Garland maddening, angry, grinning,
Hi, I'm Magdalena. This is my work. By accident, I found out my name is having like 500,000 anagrams. So I did the video out of anagrams, out of my names, and three installations. One of them you can see. It is actually a trick that I did with a mirror and a two-way glass and a glass with a phosphorescent print in the middle, and around in a box is like a UV light, and that's why this print is like lightning, and that's it, more or less. If you have any questions, or I don't know, if you want to see some other works or not.
Other works.
Other works.
Other works.
Okay, then something similar. Installations that I made with 10 connected videos and DVDs. It's the same thing also, anagrams. You will see it. It was more or less like this, but you have to imagine it was like 10 TVs.
We will be skipping through the video because it lasts something like 16 minutes. And it's like a preview version. I think here is the problem. Let's Well, this is good enough. It's greenish, not bluish, but you can imagine that.
but try to imagine 10 TVs in the circle talking to each other. It's rather boring when you look at it like this. It's much better when you can walk through the installations from all around the space. But you will see my interactive installations in the Device Art exhibition. And also tomorrow you can see the performances of these two artists. And now I give my work to Marcel from Mama, from Zagreb.
Hi, I'm Marcel. I came here a few hours ago, so it's 5 a.m. for me. And just to start to talk out of blue about gigs, I think it would be too much for you and for me. So I'll do a little introduction before that, so to come to that talk, discussion, or whatever it will happen. So just to do that introduction, so to let you know how I got to talking on Dorkbot about geek culture. So, as the others mentioned, in 2000 in Zagreb, my organization, so me together with the others, we opened up one place which is probably something like this, where people are gathering and there is a little library, DJ equipment, open desk where people could play some music, access to internet, and a place where people were doing presentations, lectures, and blah, blah, blah. And it was really good because it started to gather people and we realized that there is some kind of growing community around that. And then out of that community, which was playing music but also playing their own music, at the end of 2000, proposed to a couple of them to actually start a label which would publish things or works, digital works, just as they are published as free software. So to be free to copy, distribute, and we started with publishing that under the same license, like free software, and that was quite successful in a way, and it also proved me that that when community happened, and you know, we have fun, and that's probably one of the main reasons why to do things, at least for me. But at the same time, it's also quite quite important to articulate things. So not just to gather together and have fun. I mean, it's great. It's probably also just enough. But I would just play that video, if you can. So I'll just show you, for example, how we, in my opinion, how we articulate at that time what does really mean being an artist in these days and publishing things under GNU GPL. So this is the video by Anna Hushman. You can just play it. It's called Prigrov, or the video guide for the contemporary artist. It's just 4 minutes long.
Od pripremljenih zvučnih zapisa napravimo master CD. Master CD zatim kopiramo u 50 primjeraka na prazne CD-ove. Porijeklo praznih CD-ova nije lako ustvrditi. Međutim, postoji malo poznata informacija o proizvođaču na svakom CD-u. U programu za pisanje CD-a, na primjer CD Records na Linuxu ili Nero na Windowsima, tražimo ATIP, Absolute Time in Prigrov informaciju, te tamo iščitamo podatke o tvornici gdje je CD proizveden. Važno je da se CD-i pišu na brzini nešto manjoj od maksimalne koji omogućuje CD pisač da bi zapis bio što kvalitetniji. Nakon što su CD-i gotovi, valja ih jedno po jedno provjeriti kako nam se ne bi potkrao CD s greškom. Greška se najčešće očituje u krckanju, šumu ili preskakivanju zvuka. U međuvremenu, vizualno rješenje naslovnice pripremljene za digitalni tisak odnesemo u tiskaru i otisnemo u 50 primjeraka ili ispišemo na što kvalitetnijem pisaču. Standardna veličina naslovnice je 12x12 cm i ona se sastoji od prednje i stražnje strane. Vizualno rješenje naljepnice za CD pripremimo za ispis. Pri izradi vizualnog rješenja treba imati na umu da stolni pisač koji se koristi za ispis naljepnica nije naročito precizan. Stoga valja pripaziti da veličina slova na naljepnici ne bude premalena kako bi bila čitljiva, te da rješenje ne sadrži precizne oblike koje prate vanjski ili unutarnji rub CD-a da bi se naljepnicu kasnije moglo centrirati. Prije samog ispisa, svih 50 naljepnica, potrebno je napraviti probne ispise kako bismo ustanovili jesu li grafička rješenja ispravno centrirana. Ako nisu, moramo ih malo pomicati lijevo, desno, gore ili dolje, dok ne ustanovimo da su na pravom mjestu. Naljepnice moraju biti jednako centrirane i što ljepše i urednije ispisane. Najgori rezultati lijepljena naljepnica postižu se kombinacijom naljepnica i stroja za lijepljene od istog proizvođača. Svaka naljepnica ima središnji krug koji je moguće zgodno iskoristiti za ispis ECOBU BIC znaka koji kasnije možemo upotrijebiti kao zasebnu naljepnicu ili naljepnicu kojom zatvaramo kutiju od CD-a. Pisane CD
sa zvučnim zapisom. Naljepnicom pakiramo tako da u kutiju stavimo prvo CD na predviđeno mjesto, umetnemo naslovnicu, zatvorimo i sve zalijepimo malom kružnom naljepnicom. Epoch Bulls izdanja. Slobodno izgovorite, javno izvodite, kopirajte, modificirajte i besplatno skidajte s www.egobooobits.net.
Thanks. So, so through this example, I would probably move a little bit to what I'm supposed to talk. So it was fun to do that. It was great to see that it referenced the video reference to the community which was growing at that time, that it also refers to the hackers community, and it also has a statement, especially at that time, a little bit before that big hype behind Creative Commons, that's the statement that, yeah, that any contemporary artists could do at that time, and that it's easy actually to come up with something which you do, and yeah. So, in that sense, I'm sorry.
I don't know, you might have to split your.
If not, I'll be shorter. That's not Mac. I'm sorry. never mind, yeah. I'll do a little bit of moonwalking.
You just want to surf?
Yeah.
You can surf on this machine.
Yeah, okay, if you can prepare, but never mind. Yeah, so that was about Egoboo Beats, and that started in 2001, and at the moment it has more than 40 or 50 people publishing regularly their music and video. Anna Hushman, who did this one, she did a couple of other videos. And the last thing which was great is that her last video is awarded on so many festivals, and the great thing was also that company Siemens gave her like €1,000 for the video, which they could just download for free from the internet, or they could buy the CD for a couple of euros, but they actually bought, I don't know, like pure art in that sense. So that's the last thing which actually happened. And I realized during the process of that project that it's quite important actually to put the whole context into something alive, that we have some kind of narrative, that we have some kind of story behind that. And I was trying to actually bring a hacker's culture, and it didn't really work. I mean, most of those people, they want to do the music and they don't really care about Linux. They would freely publish their work. They will share. They don't care if you use, even make money on the music. But they were not really into the hackers culture, because they are much more in music. And then 3 years ago, I started something which is which was quite simple. It's called Skill Sharing, and that's the informal meetings on Saturdays in MAMA. And on Skill Sharing, we share skills. Yeah, that's kind of easy way of doing things. And at the same time, I also started to try to articulate that, and it happened to be quite a catchy thing, just like DoorBot. What we do, almost nothing. We actually tend to be as less pretentious as possible. You know, there is no big story about that. There is no big multinationals which you are fighting against. There is no big ecological crisis which you are talking about. There is almost nothing. You just do something and you love that. And curators of contemporary art like it. So from time to time, they invite us or me to talk about it. And the great thing is that when they invite like 10 or 15 of us, and then we do in museum or in gallery, we just do skill sharing again, nothing less, nothing more. So in that sense, I realized that it's great because we have fun, we like each other, we gather together and have fun, and also have opportunity to bring some stories behind that. So I tried when we were doing device art to talk about it. So how come that people from Dorbot, from San Francisco and all around the world came to Zagreb, and they have almost nothing to claim but say that we do Dorbots. And I also do skill sharing and the same thing. So I was thinking about, and like many things retroactively, I came up with some kind of concept where the great thing is also is just to try to reclaim the science, to reclaim the meanings, and to try to bring some meanings into terms which are just floating around, and that's what I was trying to do. So I did it with hackers culture. One of the examples is an exhibition which we did. How can I do it? Okay, cool. It's called System Hack. It was done in hotel's room. We picked up, I don't know if you can see them. Okay, yeah. So System Hack has a little bit of object-oriented syntax. So that means that that object system has a method hack, and that we will just invoke that on that. So we picked up 6 hacks. Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, the radio show, you probably know of that. Captain Crunch Whistle, I don't know if you remember, that was in your local culture scene. Yeah, 2600 hertz, and how you can break up the phone systems and talk for free. Richard Stallman, GNU GPL, General Public License, as a hack. Actually, when I was coming up with this idea, that was my center point. I wanted to put GNU General Public License in the context of avant-garde art, and in the context of where that license could be part of, you know, of something else which can be exhibited or whatever way presented to the public. I don't know if you know of Heath Bunting Superweed Kit. There's the work where he genetically modified weed so you could use it against the Monsanto plants, which was also genetically modified. And so you could start a cold war against the Monsanto. The fifth one was Xbox Linux project, and you probably know that was Microsoft game console, which was a little bit cheaper at that time than what was the price of the hardware. And you could buy it for cheaper and then free it by Xbox Linux project. And the last one was a CD protection kit. I don't know if you heard of this time too. The one was the marker. So when they were coming up with that CD protections, like the patents of how you can't copy the CDs, then anonymous hacker realized that if you just use the permanent marker and just draw on the CD, then that particular CD protection was gone. And the other one was based on the auto-run function on Windows. So if you were pressing Shift key on the Windows, then it wouldn't work. So we just picked up those 6 and put it in the hotel's room just to present that. Actually, I wouldn't really go much further with that. But that was the attempt how to articulate the hacker's culture and how to present it that how to present it as a one perspective on the, for example, on the alternative history of technology. So we probably know from school what is the history of technology and how it happens. But there is also alternative history of technology, maybe even more important than that one from school, and that was what we were trying to do. And then, I'll skip a couple of things. And then there is one term which is floating around. What we realized is geeks and a geek culture. And there are many references these days on geek culture, but most of the time are from thinggeek.com, shopherehopthere.com, geek dot whatever. So it's more or less a stereotype with the story of the white male with glasses, smarter than the others, being molested by the others in his high school, and then he's just becoming very rich and ruling the world. So I thought that maybe there is more than that what we can bring, and maybe just to try to play with that and to come up with something where people will refer to that a little bit differently. For example, when we were coming up with hackers culture, a lot of people were thinking, hackers are just people who are cracking into computers. And then when we brought with that exhibition, it was because of the exhibition, it was serious enough. And then because we also have some kind of credibility in our local community, then serious journalists are coming, and then we are doing serious interviews about it. So people can hear in a serious way that hackers are not just people who are cracking computers, but there is something else. And that's what I actually started to talk about, geek culture. And the only problem on device art on Dorkbot was that, and kind of probably because of my English, but people were referring like, there is no definition for geek or for geek culture. And then the other one, there is no definition for that. I was like, yeah, of course, I know that there is no definition, but we can play with that and we can try to see what we can do about that. Because I think that there is quite a big potentiality because that's the kind of authentic culture of people who are killing and dying for novelty and for the new, with the, like for the new, and that's the culture which actually reflects all of the subcultures like counterculture, science fiction fandoms, and all kind of obsessive perspectives with some kind of passion for things, but basically it really raises in that new media and new technology context. So in that sense, I was really interested in starting the discussion and what we can come up with, and is it like subversive or not? Is it just the banal extension of the capitalism in a way that some people buy things but don't buy it like the others, so they just buy the new things but they buy like old things and then try to modify them? Or is it especially when you combine that with the hacker's perspective, is it something which you could use and try to do some kind of research? Is it the way and the perspective which capitalism will not absorb and assimilate as quickly as it did with the other so-called subversive perspectives? And the last thing which actually happened was quite funny. There is a TV show in Croatia. It's called On the Edge of Science. It's quite cultish, especially for geeks in Croatia, because it's a regular on Monday TV show which talks about UFO, alternative medicines, experiences beyond body, robotics, and all kind of things. And we just did one on geek culture. And the funny thing was that when we were sitting in the studio, I just realized that we were playing, we were almost completely just having a joke out of it. And then you could see that some serious journalists again were sent all around to interview people, to talk to them, and to ask them, what do you think, what is a geek, what represent the geek culture, and blah, 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 and blah, blah. So in that sense, that will be one of the TV show for people who never heard of geeks, or who just briefly heard of geek. They would probably get completely different picture. For example, in that show, we were talking about how hallucinogen drugs are important for the geek culture because it presents the notion of different realities, and the state is afraid of that. So that's why state controls all of the drugs and blah blah blah. So, and how it's connected to the conspiracy theories, where it's hard to actually distinguish: is it the conspiracy theory or is it just the same what the mainstream media doing? In that sense, I think that whoever will see that TV show without any kind of background, it will start to think about the geek culture as something much, much different than just thinkgeek.com or whatever. So that's what I was trying actually to start at that time. So not just reclaim the street, but also reclaim the science and reclaim the floating terms and signs around, and let's see what we can do with that. So yeah, I think that was the introduction. So I expect, maybe not in a formal way, but till I go to sleep, which will be in probably an hour or two, we can just talk about that. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Marcel. Anyone have any comments or questions for anyone?
You want a beer? non-alcoholic.
Okay.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out again tonight. Just to recap this chain of events for Device Art, maybe I should... Was it this one? Come back a little bit to just... briefly give you an overview of some of the other projects coming here over the next several weeks. So the artists and people that we invited from San Francisco, which was the contribution Blasthouse made to this project, there was, of course... Marcel was referring to the Dorkbot, the first sort of Dorkbot that we officially ever happened in Zagreb, which was actually happening in MoMA, and that was from Douglas Repetto, who's a founder of Dorkbot in New York. We actually had him come out and host it. We also had invited Dale Doherty from Make Magazine, who gave a presentation also at MoMA the next night. And then the exhibition opening of the visual arts featured three different artists from the United States. Those were Christina Sporung, Christian Risteau, and Jonathan Foote. And then during the course of 3 days, we actually had a... sort of what we call the mechanical carnival or carnival mechanique, which featured the work of Cal Spelatek, Ryan Doyle, and Christian Risteau, and also Christina Sporung. Some of the projects that I just wanted to kind of briefly go over here, we can just start here with Miha Ciglatter. And by the way, these artists are not only from Zagreb, but there's another organization that I failed to mention, which I should, in Slovenia, in Ljubljana, which is called Kapelica Gallery. It's a really important gallery. It's been around for years, and it's worth checking out. They don't have a whole lot of documentation online, but if you're ever in that part of the world, it's worth the trip. So Kapelica, there's a few number of artists from Slovenia as well. In addition, there's a few from Belgrade. These don't seem to be coming up here. Here we go. So Mihat Ciglar is basically making a performance piece where he's putting himself in the chain of a feedback loop with a video screen, and inserting this in his mouth, he creates very much an interactive response, and uses his hand to the TV. He sort of looks like he's controlling the actual video just by his hand, but it's just because of this metal plate and this instrument into which he inserts in his mouth. That probably won't be exhibited. He won't perform that, but he will actually be exhibiting that in some form. Marijan Srtulic created a video link between Belgrade and Zagreb in the main square, where people could talk to one another on a live, real-time video link. That project won't be realized here, but just thought I'd kind of give you an idea. This is a really great project by Luka Dekleva, which is an audio-visual MIDI interface, which is, you can see the image on the right is actually a breast implant, and the other image is this sort of VJ tablet where you can very interestingly engage with the audiovisual atmosphere. Sasha Djuric is also taken a similar approach with MIDI. He's made an actual piece of hardware that controls a very popular DJ music software called Traktor, and that's what this image is to the right. So he's basically made a hard piece of hardware that controls Traktor, so you can actually mix and fade just like you would if you were playing CDJs. Let me see here. Ivana Franka is also a very well-known artist out of Zagreb who's been working with New Media for quite some time, and she has a very beautiful LED sculpture, which will be taking place in a darkened room, and then see what else. This is an actual a work by Luka Frejlik, who is from Ljubljana, and this basically is a bicycle that you'll be able to ride around the neighborhood, and it will record your journey and also record your GPS bike ride, and then you can later look at that experience along with everyone else's that took the ride. The next work, just worth mentioning, is Ines Krasic and Ivan Leš, who collaborated on using fruits as a power source for a computer, which is more on a conceptual lines, but they actually prove that you can get power from fruit. Although you probably need quite a big orchard to power something really for a long time. Anyway, those are just a few of the projects just to round out everything, so maybe we can have some time to socialize with you guys, and you guys can have a chance to talk to these artists. Tomorrow night will be the opening for Silvio Vucic and Perfume, and if you wanted to sign up to have a perfume made of your body fluid, we'd like to invite you to do that. Keep in mind, it would be nice to be a little bit adventurous sometimes, so I think after the first couple of urines or something, it might be more interesting if someone could donate something different so we could have a lot to offer people to smell. And of course, that becomes your own perfume, and you're welcome to take that at the end of the exhibition. As well, Cliff will have his installation in here tomorrow, an audiovisual work. And then on the 14th, which is a Thursday night, the next phase will occupy the whole gallery space. There's about 15 or 20 projects that are coming in for this next 14th opening. And then the 16th is a Saturday. That's the night of the performances, which will feature, among others, Cal Spelatek and Christian Risto, and doing some mechanical and robotic performance works. But thank you all for coming, and I hope to see you in the next few weeks. Any questions?
Is Silvio here?
Silvio is over here, yes. over to my left. So we'll have a sign-up list at the bar right now if you guys want to.
Well, I actually have a fair amount of sweat.
You have a fair amount of sweat. Does it work? Okay.
It won't be easy to collect. You
no, that's true. That's true. Okay. All right, we can work with you. Let's talk.